Amen. I was going to preach a different subject today, and I feel like going another direction if you'll just let me do that. I don't have any notes except for the Bible, so this may take a while. No, I'll try to keep it short. Amen. But we're going to the book of Mark, chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Yeah. My mind, where to start? Start with verse 1, and again, everybody say again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, who was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein lay the sick of the palsy. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Now you're getting it. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in their spirit that they had so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sin be forgiven thee, or say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, Whoop! We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. Amen. I suppose if I were going to come up with a title here, in the spur of the moment, I would ask this question. What did you bring to church today? The Bible said he entered again. Now, that means he'd already been there. He came again. Now, could I just say that he's already been here before? But I want to let you know today, just in case you don't know, he's here again.
Yes,
hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what, I can feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. Jesus Christ is present here. He's come again. And I'm glad he's come again. We want him here. We seek. We'll do just about anything we can to get him here. Amen. But I'm glad to tell you today that the Lord has entered again into Athens United Pentecostal Church. He's here today. Amen. And then the Bible said it was noised abroad. What we need around here is some noisy people. Amen. To get out and tell everybody. You know what? I was in church Sunday morning at Athens United Pentecostal Church and Jesus showed up. Hallelujah. I'm going again tonight. And you know what? I think he's going to be there. Won't you just come along with me? Amen. The good news is when people find out that Jesus is going to be there, they want to come. It's not so important that the preacher's going to be there, or the singer's going to be there, or the musician's going to be there. What matters most is Jesus going to be there? Hey, these people had already been where he was, and they said, I want to be there again. You know what you're doing here today? Because you come expecting Jesus to be in the house. And you're not going to be disappointed. He's here. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible said they went out and they noised it around that he was in the house. And it says, and immediately, the word straightway means immediately. And immediately, many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. Not so much as about the door. Everybody came. I mean, it got full. You know how to fill this house up? Amen. This isn't. We don't have the most beautiful church in Athens. We got a nice church. I thank God for it. I thank God for Pastor Davis and all of you folks that worked so hard for so long to get what we got. I appreciate it. And I thank you because you keep helping us pay the bills. I appreciate that. But I know that we don't have the newest building or the most beautiful building in Athens, Texas. I'm aware of that. Amen. I thank God we got some wonderful musicians. And I appreciate that so very, very much. Amen. And I thank God that we've got some great singers and people that can sing and bless us with their singing. And I thank God that we got some great teachers. And I thank God that we got a great Sunday school. Amen. And I thank God that we got a great bus ministry. And I thank God we got a great nursing home ministry. I thank God we got a great prison ministry. I thank God we got some great preachers around here. I thank God for everything that He's given us. Amen. But that's not what's going to bring people to church. There are other churches that have preachers and singers and musicians and beautiful buildings and all kinds of programs. What's going to get people here is they got to hear that Jesus is in the house. Amen. And if I can just introduce people to Him. Hallelujah. Amen. If we can just get somebody, amen, to go and tell everybody, hey, I was there and Jesus was in the house and act excited about it. And tell Him something good that happened. Amen. Well, you know, I thought the singing was off a little this morning. A lot of people were gone. A lot of people, you know. Well, that bunch was there too, by the way. Amen. They were there too, but they're not the ones that filled up the house. Hey, man, matter of fact, they really don't want to fill up the house. They don't care if we close the doors, but let me tell you, that ain't going to happen. Because we got folks that are excited because He's in the house. Amen. And they're going to tell people what the Lord is doing. Amen. And so that's what was exciting. Jesus was there. And I like this, what He did. The Bible said, and He preached the word unto them. You know what folks want to hear when they come to church? They want to hear the word. They don't want to hear social gospel. They don't just want to hear another positive thinking seminar. Nothing wrong with positive thinking. If you're a Christian, you're going to think positive. Amen. That happened a long time before Norman Vincent Peale. Amen. That's just what Christians do. You think positive. Praise God. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're a positive person. You're full of positivity. Amen. Because you just can't help it. Amen. If the Lord's moving in your life and good things are happening, amen. So, but when they came, Jesus preached the word. Amen. And you know what we're going to do around here? We're going to preach the word. Amen. A lot of things we can preach, but I choose to preach the word. Amen. You know why? Because that's what you're going to, you get what you preach. Like I said, you get what you preach. And then what happened? Jesus, when He sent out His disciples, He said, the world preach the gospel. The gospel. The gospel. The gospel. The gospel. What's the gospel? Good news. Preach the good news. Good news. Good news to the world. Amen. Not doom and gloom. Amen. Not Joyner Fry. Preach the good news. Amen. He said, that's what I want you to preach. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. Right, yeah, right. Confirming the word with signs following. Amen. You preach the word, Jesus can confirm the word. His word. He'll not always confirm my word or your word, but He'll always confirm His word. You want to preach something God can bless? Preach His word. You want to talk about something God can bless? Talk about His Word. That's something God can deal with. That's something God can bless. That's something He's blessed already. Hallelujah. So He preached the Word to them. The Bible says, and I like this, it says, and they came to Him. And I like this, bringing one. Now there's a good lesson for us. Bringing one. It's good to come to Jesus, but it's better to come to Jesus bringing someone. Well, that's biblical, isn't it? Isn't that neat? Don't look so puzzled. It's in there. Amen. He says, and they came unto Him bringing one. Now, in this case, it took four of them to get Him there. But thank God they got Him there. I've heard people say this, and it's always, to me, a little hard to answer. I've heard people say, how many have won a soul to Jesus this year? Well, that's a good question. But you know what? Most of the time, it's not just one that wins one. This is a body effort here. You may bring one, but you're not the one that wins one. Amen. It involves a lot. Amen. Many that are sitting here today, there was a Sunday school teacher involved in your coming to God. They may not have brought you, but they were certainly instrumental in your finding Jesus Christ. There might have been an evangelist. There was a pastor. There was somebody else involved in your coming to the Lord. So it's not just one winning one. Hey, we're all involved in this. Did you know it's your worship that's vital and important? That's why it's important that we worship when we come to church. Because your worship's important. Yeah, it may scare the daylights out of folks, but they'll feel something. I love the story of the testimony of Charles Mahaney. God bless Charles Mahaney. Amen. Went on to be with the Lord, but my, what a man. If you ever saw Charles Mahaney, you knew he was either a Pentecostal preacher or a gangster, one or the other. You could just tell by looking. He was rough and tough. He was it, man. He was a thug with a capital T before he came to God. He had the tattoos and the carvings and the cuttings and everything that went with it. I mean, he had the jail time. He was going down for the third time. He was out. Amen. And God spoke to a preacher, Brother Danvers Stanford, and said, I want you to go visit this man in jail. And he went and he met him in jail, and he started witnessing to him. And he didn't want to hear the preacher, and God said, go back. But the Stanford went back. He couldn't get rid of him. And he kept coming back, and finally said, all right, Charles. He said, now we're going to pray. He said, well, I don't know how to pray. He said, well, just talk to God like your friend. He said, if I do, He'll strike me dead. And so he just said, you just talk to Him. Amen. And finally, there was no reason. I mean, it was over. He was headed to prison for a long time because this is his third strike. And somehow Brother Stanford was able to get him out of jail. And he went to church with him. The first time he'd ever been in a Pentecostal church. And he was sitting in church and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost fell. Don't you like it when that happens? Like happens around here, real regular. And I mean, they got to running and shouting and dancing. And he was, this biker that had seen it all was scared to death. He'd never seen anything like this. He said, these folks are crazy. Amen. And so he started trying to get out. And he turned around and he headed for the door. And this sweet, sweet little Pentecostal lady with her Pentecostal bun on the back of her head, gray hair and her eyes closed, started dancing. Eyes closed. And he started to go this way. She danced over this way. Eyes closed. And he started that way. And she danced over this way. Eyes closed. And he headed back over there. And she danced back over here. All the time shouting and talking in tongues. And he thought, what in the world have I got myself into? And since he couldn't go that way, he came this way. Hallelujah. Conviction gripped his heart. He came down, repented of his sins, and God gave him the Holy Ghost and made him a great, great preacher and evangelist. Amen. Praise God. Now, see what I'm saying? There's more than one involved here. Brother Stanford heard the Holy Ghost and went to visit him in jail and witnessed to him and got him to church, but he couldn't get him to the altar. The preacher couldn't get him to the altar. Amen. But that little gray-haired lady with her eyes closed, shouting and dancing in the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues, that he couldn't get around. Closed one door, so he had to go the other. Amen. You see how God uses folks? Let him use you. Takes more than one. Takes more than one. Amen. If you're here today, you're not here because of just yourself. You know, that scripture in the Bible that says, it talks about the road is narrow, or the gate is straight, and the road is narrow, the path is narrow. And it says, the Bible said, there's few there be that find. And that's a scary verse. Scary verse. Few. And yet, in the scripture, the Bible talks about numbers that innumerable. We can't even name all of them. And that doesn't sound like a few. So that sounds a little contradictory. So if only a few are going to find the path, how are there going to be multitudes in heaven? I'm going to tell you how. There's not very many that find it. But there's a whole lot that people go find them and show them. That's why there's going to be a multitude. Not because of the few that find it, but because of those that noise it abroad and those that come bringing somebody with them. Amen. I don't know about you today, but there were some people that bore me. I'm not talking about being bored, but they carried me for a long time. Amen. Somebody said that the church owes Barnabas for the Apostle Paul. Because everybody was scared to death of him. But Barnabas saw potential and loved him and cared for him and included him and encouraged him and helped him until his ministry was established. He bore him. He carried him. Amen. And that's our ministry today. There's a whole lot of caring and carrying that has to go on in the church. Amen. And that was what happened in my life. I grew up in this all my life, but that didn't save me. I broke my last baby bottle in church when I was 18 months. Let's make that clear. Amen. And this is it. It's all I've known my whole life. It's it. Slept on pews like these and on the floor. Had people shouting all around. Of course, I know nobody ever stepped on me. But we just, that's all I knew my whole life. But that didn't save me. Amen. But you know what? I went to a little old church and on the corner of Keith and Glidden and or Linden and Midland and Texas. And there was an old pastor, Merle McDaniel, and he used to carry me. And I went to Sunday school classes, and I had Sunday school teachers like Sister Blanchett and Sister Maxwell and many more, and they carried me. And I had a sweet little old mama. Amen. I had a fourth grade education, but boy, she could pray. Boy, she pray. Ma, she could pray. Amen. And she carried me. Amen. She embarrassed me, but she carried me. Amen. Praise God. I'd be back in service, especially by the time I was a teenager looking tough. Man, I was tough. Muscles. I mean, I had muscles between my ears. and I was tough. And that little mama carried me. I'd be sitting back there looking bored. Too tough to be in church. Too tough for God. I don't need none of this. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, and she'd jump up right over here, that where Sister Stevens is. And she'd start with that Comanche war hoop stuff. Woo! 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 And she'd get the dancing and shouting and screaming, and I'd just duck my head. But you know what? She was carrying me. And every time, before she'd leave that pew and start down to the altar, every service, she'd look back there first. Back on that back pew to see if I'd made a move yet. She was carrying me. I'll never forget nights. I'd get woke up in the middle of the night. Let me tell you something. Pillows will, they'll cancel a lot of noise, but they won't cancel prayer. I'd have that pillow in my head, my little mom in there praying, surveilling, crying. God save my boys, calling her names. And I'd get that pillow and put it on my ears. She was carrying me. She was carrying me. I didn't want to be carried, but she was carrying me anyway. I wasn't interested in Jesus at that time, but she was carrying me. She wouldn't stop. I remember times that she'd pray until she became so ill she couldn't even get out of the bed. She'd be so weak and she could barely speak. Her voice and her spirit were almost gone. We'd call the pastor and have him come pray, and I'd hear her saying it. And it'd always ring in my ear. She'd say, God, I don't care. Take me on. I don't care, God. I don't even want to live if you don't save my family and save my boys. Amen. It doesn't matter to me. I'm ready to go. Take me, but save my boys. She was carrying me. You see, I know what it's about to be carried. Anybody here know what it's like to be carried? And she kept on carrying me. Amen. Praise God. And preachers came and pastors carried me and evangelists came and they had carried me. Brother O.C. Marler preached a revival. And I don't even know what he preached that night. I can't tell you what he preached. But I can tell you one thing that I'll never forget. That the Holy Ghost moved. Jesus was in the house. And I was tough. Man, I was tough. 15 and tough. Muscles. And strong. Tough. But the Holy Ghost started talking. And I was so embarrassed. Matter of fact, I was angry. Tears were running down my cheeks. And I was afraid somebody was going to see me. I had my head down. Brushing tears. Gotta quit this. Toughen up here, boy. Sissy, you can't cry. Amen. But I couldn't stop. Went back, got up and walked out and went back to the bathroom. And when I got back there, it changed. Not just tears, but sobs. Come at him in a most being, just shaking his sobs. Because somebody was carrying me. Somebody was carrying me. All that carrying was getting me so close. I went back in and sat down, tears still flowing. Couldn't stop it. And a great old big man, 6'7" or 6'8", huge man. Weighed 300, none of my business pounds. Came back there, sat down beside me, put his big old arm around me, shoved me way down the pew. Felt like a log. And he looked at me, bald-headed, thick glasses. He looked at me, and he said something straight from God that went straight to my heart. He said, Johnny, he said, it takes a man to live for God. And you know what? I found that to be true. Anybody can live after their own passions. Anybody can be a drunk. Anybody can be a dope addict. All you got to do is just give in. Anybody can be a whoremonger. Anybody can be a pervert. Anybody can be a thief. Anybody can be a deadbeat. Anybody can be all that. That doesn't take anybody special. But what takes somebody special is for somebody to stand against the stream and stand up to yourself and say, I will be a man of God. I will say, no. When everything inside of me is crying, yes. It takes a man to stand against his own passions and against his own flesh and make a decision and stand rock solid in the middle of it all just to protect the testimony and the Word of God. It takes a man to do that. Amen. So Brother David put his arm around me. And that when he said that, it was as if
as if a weight was lifted and shackles fell off. And I was free to be what God had always intended me to be. And I got up from that back seat, ran down to that little wooden altar, fell down, began to weep and repent and ask God to forgive me for my sins. Amen. I'll tell you what, when I got up from there, my world changed. I was so clean on the inside. I had peace like I'd never had in all my life. Amen. My life changed from that moment on. Amen. Somebody carried me, though. I didn't get there by myself. Somebody carried me. The old ladies and men gathered around and prayed with me, prayed for me. He helped me to get through to the throne. Amen. And I wasn't there by myself. There was people with me. Amen. People that had been praying for me for years. They were there. Old teachers and men in the church and the pastor and somebody carried me. Amen. There's somebody here carrying folks today. Some of you have been carrying folks a long time. Amen. But don't get weary with the burden. Just keep carrying. Amen. Just keep bringing them to Jesus. Amen. They brought this man. And when they got there, the Bible said that there were obstacles in the way. They couldn't get through. Sometimes when you're carrying, it seems like, and this always happens, the devil's going to put everything in your way that he possibly can, because he doesn't want people coming to God. He will put everything in the way. And so they couldn't get to Jesus. They got to where he was, but they could not get inside. And so they looked around and they said, guess what? There's nobody on the roof. Amen. There's nobody on the roof. Amen. So they climbed up on the roof. Now, I know that their roofs back then were a little different. People actually, you know, they worked up there because it was cooler. They didn't have air conditioning, little bitty windows. So they actually worked on the roof, flat roof. So they went over and had some tiles, and they started taking those tiles off and setting them aside. Amen. And I don't know exactly how that, in my mind, I could just picture, you know, they're up on the rooftop. They don't know exactly where Jesus is, but one of them was listening. You know, got his ear down. He said, sounds like he's just about here. So they start taking the roofs off of the tiles off the roof, and they open up a hole. Well, you talk about getting people's attention. Wouldn't that get our attention today? If somebody up, you could hear somebody up there taking shingles off and cutting through the metal and cutting through, and they say, whoa, what? Everybody's looking up. And then gets quiet. And all of a sudden, they see four faces peeking down. Here's what I love in this story. The Bible said, and when Jesus, you know what he saw? It didn't say their faces. It says when he saw their faith. That's what he saw. Woo! He saw some faith. Amen. He's not worried about your face. Now, people are worried about your face. You worried about your face. But people, God's not worried about your face. He's worried about your faith. You can't do a whole lot about your face. But you can do something about your faith. And so he saw their faith. He saw their faith. He saw their desperation. He saw their willingness to go whatever they had to do to get there. Amen. And when he saw that, he was moved. And then all of a sudden the faces disappeared. And then a little scraping around, heard some noise, and all of a sudden they see this bed coming down and four ropes, one on each corner, and they're letting him down. Woo, woo. And they watch this apparition come down from above. And all of a sudden, there's this sick man laying there, paralyzed. And you think that got their attention? Everybody's eyes were that big. Woo, what's going on here? What's going to happen now? Amen. And the Bible said, Jesus just looks over at the fella and he says the most unusual thing. You don't say anything about him being sick? Did you know God's a lot less worried about your sickness than he is about your sin? He wants to address the important things first. See, we come to God because we have this need. We're sick and we want to be healed. Amen. But God's concerned that we get rid of our sin first. I can go to heaven being sick, but I can't go to heaven with my sin. Amen. And so I need to take care of my sin, and then He'll take care of the sickness. So He puts first things first. So He says to the man, He says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." God's concerned about forgiveness, aren't you? Thank God for forgiveness. And so Jesus says, "Your sins be forgiven." And I told you about that bunch that was there. Amen. Saying, "Huh, who was this? Forgiven sins. That's a blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Right. Are you getting it now? Right. Amen. You're catching on. Yeah. Right. And so Jesus knew what was going on. He could tell by looking at their faces. You ought to try this sometime. This is fun up here. You know, when you preach, you see all kinds of stuff. Amen. You see some folks, man, they're with you. Woo! I mean, they're hanging on it. They're getting with it. And they're carriers. Amen. They're bearing some things. And then you've got the critics. I've heard this. Matter of fact, right here, I've got it written. 3:12:06. Yeah, well, you preached this before, haven't you? Not this, something like this, but not this. Amen. Well, I've heard this. It's interesting. I went back after one service, not here, it's another church. And this lady had never been there before. I went back and service over, great shaking hands. I said, "Well," said, how'd you like the service today? She said, "I'm mad." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." She said, "I'm going to go tell my brother he's going to come up and beat you up." So you never know what's going to happen. One fellow was headed down the aisle. He was going to disrupt things. And so I met him in the middle. I was going to try to get him calmed down. He picked me up, bruised. Amen. Got bruises to prove that. And it's exciting being in church. A lot of fun. Amen. You think it's tough sitting there? Try standing here. I'm kind of like the little boy, though. He said, "I want to be a preacher when I grow up." I said, "Why you want to be a preacher?" He said, "Well, if somebody's going to be stand up shouting, it might as well be me." So there's all kinds of reasons. But Jesus saw the man. And he goes over and he sees the reasoning. Here's the gears turning in the minds of the skeptics and the doubters and the critics and all that's going on. Amen. And he goes over to the young man. He said, "Which is easier? To say, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee,' or 'Arise, take up your bed, walk.'" And the Bible said immediately he jumped up out of bed. Grabbed his bed and started walking. Glory. Hallelujah. And I like what it said about that. It said, and they were all amazed, even the critics. You want to convert critics? Let's get some amazing things going on around here. I'm going to hear, do you hear me today? We cannot do amazing things. We can do talented things. We can do blessed things. We can do anointed things, but we cannot do amazing things. But Jesus Christ can do amazing things. And if we'll do the blessed things and the anointed things with the right motive and the right purpose, amen, Jesus Christ will be present and He can do the amazing things. Amen. And so He will. Hallelujah. Amen. They were all amazed and glorified God. And oh, this is the kind of testimony we want to have in Athens. We want people to come here and say, "Woo, we never saw it on that fashion." Go out of church thinking, "Wow, I never saw anything like that." Amen. Been to 3 rat killings in a county fair, but I never saw anything like that. Never saw anything like that. Amen. Praise God. And that's exactly what we want. Amen. What did you bring with you to church today? What did you bring? Amen. Somebody said, well, I just brought a testimony. I brought some praise. God's been good to me this week. Amen. Things are going pretty good. I'm bringing a testimony today. And somebody else is saying, well, I'm bringing a burden today. My life's not going so well at the moment. Devil's mad, fighting with everything he's got. Everything's kind of topsy-turvy in my world. That's all right. Just bring that too. God will receive that just as well as he will your testimony. It doesn't matter to him. Just bring it. Just bring it with you. And just bring it with you. Amen. And you can, whatever your need. Somebody said, well, I brought my sins today. I've got some old stinking habits I can't get rid of. I hate it. I wish it was different. I wish I didn't do this over and over again. I wish I could leave it down and leave it alone, but I can't. I'd come to God, but I just got this. Well, just bring it with you. Just bring it with you. He's not asking you to leave that alone back there. No, just bring it with you. He'll take care of that when he takes care of you. Let's stand together today. What did you bring to church with you this morning? What did you bring to the house of God? Amen. If you brought praise and a testimony, how wonderful. But if you're pressed down, amen, you got trouble in your life. Amen. That's okay. Bring that with you. Have you got habits, sins that have you bound? Things that you're trying to get away from and you just can't. That's all right. Whatever you have today, just bring it with you. Bring it to Jesus. And when you get here, give it to him. Don't hang on to it. Bring it with you and give it to him.